Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis, an MRR podcast. Today's episode features Carson Humiston, founder and CEO at Vangst, a multi-state staffing agency for the cannabis industry based in Colorado. This episode was recorded over the phone on April 30th, 2020.
All right. Carson Humiston, CEO and founder of Vangst Staffing for the cannabis industry. Again, thank you so much for taking the time and being willing to talk with me today.
Great to be here, Nick. Thanks for having me.
So why don't we start out a little bit by you telling us, you know, kind of your background and what originally gave you the concept to want to start Vangst in the first place?
Sure. So Vangst is the cannabis industry's hiring platform. And when I was an undergrad in college, I was running a student travel company. So I had a large network of students and recent grads. And I asked my network which industries they were most interested in getting jobs in. Very surprised to see the interest in the cannabis space. Spent some time researching the space and talking to customers in the space and discovered what types of roles they're recruiting for, which was everything, and asked them how they went about finding their employees, which was a huge pain point for them. And so saw an opportunity to connect people looking for jobs with the job. And now fast forward, we're about to have our fourth birthday in May, and we've connected and we've filled 70,000 short-term gigs in cannabis and several thousand full-time hires into the space. So a lot of jobs that we filled, and looking forward to filling a lot more as we go forward.
Well, when you're looking across the space, being that you've been doing staffing now for the cannabis industry for the past 4 years across all the different states, when you're looking at possibly the hardest position for, say, a retailer or a manufacturer or distributor staff, what, in your opinion, is the hardest position in cannabis right now?
It's changed so much over the last 4 years. I think on the retail side, retaining retail staff in general is challenging, and cannabis is no different to that. And so last year we discovered that actually 70% of retail employees in the cannabis space turned over, so of dispensary employees. And I think that's, again, the nature of retail in general, and adding cannabis and all the complexities that come with the cannabis space, I think only adds to it. So I would say bud tenders are, believe it or not, it's hard to recruit great bud tenders, and then in addition, retain them and make sure that they're knowledgeable. I think bud tenders are some of the most important people in the space, right? If I come to Colorado on vacation and I go into a dispensary and I ask the bud tender for product advice and they give me terrible advice, my entire vacation to Colorado can be ruined. And so I think having bud tenders that are competent, informed, and when I say informed, I really mean educated around the brands that they're selling and really informed about compliance. And so, you know, you can't give medical advice to customers as they come through. And so while you can say, this product is advertised to do X, Y, and Z, you really can't say, hey, take this and you're going to fall asleep. So
right.
I think in making sure they're, again, on the compliance side, making sure that everybody who comes through is 21, making sure that everyone that you service, you're not selling more than the state limit. You know, I think the huge scandal in Colorado a few years ago was with the dispensary
yeah.
that had the bud tenders looping. And so I really think it's really important that the bud tenders are empowered and educated, and so that they can best service their employers and the customers.
Right, and you kind of bring up a really good point there with them being the first touch to your customer. If you're a retail brand, having mentioned that they could possibly ruin their vacation or ruin their entire experience with cannabis if say it's a first time experience for them. When you're looking at the educational aspect of bud tenders, you know, we've kind of shifted from the original days of cannabis where it's, you know, maybe the knowledge necessarily wasn't there, to now we have consumers that are extremely educated in cannabis. Have you seen the general average bud tender knowledge base kind of rise at the same rate as consumers, or are you seeing like one kind of trend causing the other to happen?
I think budtenders, their knowledge has gone up with consumers. There's just so much more information available, and companies are prioritizing training much more than they were 4 or 5 years ago. Companies are larger, they're more sophisticated, they have larger people teams, larger compliance teams, larger training teams. So I would say that budtenders in general are more knowledgeable than consumers. I think you have the diehard consumer who knows every single thing about every single product, but
right.
on average, you deal with a lot of, like I said, a lot of tourists, and then you deal with a lot of just casual buyers that don't make a career out of learning every single product, which a lot of budtenders do.
Well, that's true. And when you're looking at the overall scope of the industry, you're mentioning tourism. Obviously, Colorado, Denver especially, is big on the cannabis tourism market, Los Angeles, the Bay Area. When you're looking at the overall trend of hiring in the cannabis industry, is there a particular market that you're seeing trending more than others? And if so, why do you think that might be?
So California is the largest, obviously, there's the most jobs there. I think there's around 60,000 people employed full-time in California cannabis industry. And obviously that's just because of the sheer size, the population of California, the number of cannabis businesses there, the number of patients and consumers in California. So that's why that's the largest. And so for us, we filled 3 times more gigs in California than we did in Colorado. California was our largest market for filling gigs. Colorado was our second, and the comparison between the two is really big, right? Like I said, 3 times more in California than Colorado.
Is there a particular area of California that you're seeing the most movement? I mean, obviously Los Angeles is the largest adult use market, the Bay Area, but are you seeing maybe movement more in Northern California, where maybe the growers and the outdoor associations are moving faster, or what are you kind of seeing on that front?
So in the fall in Northern California, we always see a large amount of gigs on the outdoor side, so on the cultivation front, just because of all the outdoor growth. There's an airplane flying right over my house right now. Wow.
No worries.
This disclaimer, I'm sitting in my roof on my hammock talking to you, so that was what the background noise there was. But yeah, in Northern California, in the outdoor grow side, we see a ton of need for cultivators, trimmers, outdoor growers. But the largest area of jobs is still Southern Colorado. Like you said, it's the largest adult use market in California, and so that's where we have seen the majority of the jobs be.
Yeah, you meant Southern California. You said Southern Colorado there. But, yeah, Southern California and Los Angeles.
Southern California, sorry.
All good. Southern California is still, you know, seeing the largest spike for you guys, with obviously the coronavirus pandemic going across the United States. We've seen different markets kind of shift in what their operation and their guidelines are, both for, say, pickup or delivery. When you're looking at how COVID-19 has kind of affected the cannabis industry as a whole, what are you seeing in terms of hiring practices and it, specifically for the coronavirus? Meaning, like, are you seeing more delivery driver applications going out? And if that is the case, are you seeing markets kind of adapt to that quicker than others, or maybe not so much? Maybe they're all kind of doing it at the same time.
So delivery drivers, there has been a need for delivery drivers. Overall hiring, we've seen hiring slow down. I think that most of the world is on a hiring freeze. People are looking at their number of staff. They're looking at how they can reduce costs. We've seen a lot of clients do layoffs. So, and also, you got to remember, even though it's awesome that cannabis has been deemed essential, most businesses are only operating at about 20% capacity. So if usually they were able to have a dispensary that could have, I don't know, 15 people in, now they're having way less, and so they need less staff to meet the social distancing rules. Same with indoor grows. You can't have 60 growers on top of each other right now, and so they've had to reduce the amount of people they can have in their facility. And that's we've seen a slowdown on jobs and gigs across the board. We saw a short spike during panic buying, where people needed budtenders to sort of, before all the social distancing rules really kicked in, and companies were responding to all the people that were coming to stock up on supplies. But since that, we've seen a slowdown on jobs and gigs.
Well, and we've also seen some cannabis companies kind of shift what their priorities were from, let's say, manufacturing at full capacity on flower or concentrates. We've seen several companies go towards making face masks or sanitizers. Are there some maybe operational suggestions that you would give to, say, a manufacturer or retailer on ways that they could help with services in the pandemic to help kind of meet that essential need status?
Yeah, so we just did a really interesting webinar on safety, extreme social distancing, essential service employees, you know, really workplace safety during COVID. We brought in industry leaders, CEOs. We had the CEO of Native Roots on. We had the CEO and founder of 1906, the edible company, a bunch of really cool people talking about we had Stillwater, talking about what they're doing to make sure that their employees that are essential service workers are safe. So definitely I can send you the link to that, and it'd be cool to check out. But, I mean, people are doing all kinds of different things, whether it be taking all their employees' temperatures every day to communicating with their employees to make sure that their employees really went to and from work and to the grocery store and were maintaining social distancing so that they know that they're not bringing someone in who's potentially, you know, asymptomatic or on the verge of getting sick. So I think in general just being aware of best practices for essential workplaces so that you can avoid having a COVID breakout in your business is what people need to be doing.
So what's the future of the industry look like? I mean, obviously, you know, coronavirus is a respiratory viral infection. You know, there's been some concerns maybe about combustion, flower and joints versus, say, edibles and tinctures. What are you seeing the industry kind of shaking out over the next, say, year? What in your opinion, is the future of cannabis?
That's a great question, and I don't have a great answer for you, right? I tend to sort of stay in my lane of cannabis hiring and what I think the future of that looks like. What I will say, though, is that I think people's health is going to be more important than ever. And so if there are studies to show that smoking cannabis, it makes COVID symptoms worse, I think people will move away from that. And I think that people will move more towards edibles. But again, I don't really know on that front. I think in terms of hiring, that the industry will come back in a big way. I think that, you know, it's crazy. We've seen cannabis going from being illegitimate and illegal to being essential. I think the demand, you know, if this global pandemic doesn't prove that the cannabis is an industry that's here to stay, I don't know what will. And so I think that more states are going to legalize, which is going to create more jobs. And I think it's just a super exciting time for anybody in the industry. And I think this pandemic is a step closer to federal legalization.
Well, that's interesting. So I've heard that from a couple different people as far as this being kind of the marker to help push it towards federal legalization. Let's say it doesn't happen this year, and let's say maybe 5 years out it doesn't happen. At the very least, do you see this as now a windfall for, say, states that maybe were on the fence as to whether or not to push for a legalization ballot or a medical ballot of their own, considering that some of the tax dollars from this are kind of saving some of the states' economies? Your lane isn't hiring, but just as an industry person yourself, you know, what do you think might happen?
No, yeah, that's what I think, right? I mean, I think these states are in deep trouble, right? You look at, you know, the amount of sales tax revenue and that the states are going to have coming in right now is going to be materially down, and that impacts the state's entire budget. And so cannabis is, you know, you look at a place like Colorado, and last year was, I think, close to $500 million in tax revenue for the state. There's just no way that other states are going to look over at their neighbor and think that this is not a great idea. It's creating jobs. it's there's people that are relying on it as medicine, and we're generating tax revenue in a time that the states need it. So I think that many states are gonna push forward with this, and the job creation opportunity is very exciting to think about.
And let's talk about that job creation possibility in the era of legalization. So let's say that, you know, in a perfect world, we have federal legalization happen. At that point, maybe we have interstate commerce with cannabis brands. Do you possibly see these licensing deals continue, or do you see people maybe doing startups and try to go big across the state with one flagship?
I think that similar to gaming and I think it's going to continue to be state by state, and there'll be very strict license requirements and license requirements for employees. So, I mean, I think that will be interesting to see how it shakes out, but I do think it's going to move state by state for a period of time, even potentially post federal legalization, would be my prediction, but not
well,
sure.
It makes complete sense. I mean, even with the passage of the Farm Bill, we still had some, quote unquote, rogue states arresting people with moving hemp flower. So that is very interesting. So to kind of put perspective on how you guys are right now tackling hiring needs for people, you guys recently launched a matching service. Is that correct?
So yeah, we launched the next version of our platform. So our platform was initially only servicing temporary employees, so a customer could post a gig and a candidate could apply to the gig, short-term gig. And then the other side of our business, the full-time side, was all manual. So we had a large team of recruiters manually doing the matches on the full-time side. We've now launched the next version of the platform where the customers can still post gigs and get matched with gig candidates, but on the full-time side, they can do the same. So a customer can post a full-time retail dispensary store manager role, and candidates that meet the right criteria that have been screened and vetted by us can match to it. So customers can match without involving a live human.
Gotcha. So kind of like monster.com, like kind of like an algorithmic approach to matching, say, cannabis staffing needs with the applicants out there who have the talents and or skills to be able to do the job that's there, kind of something similar to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think monster.com is a little bit more of a job board. I mean, I would think of like hired.com or Vettery, more of a verticalized hiring marketplace. And so every candidate that is on our platform has been screened and by us. So it's not just if you post a job for a dispensary store manager and you want someone with a Colorado med badge and 3 years of Colorado dispensary management experience, you will get that. Versus if you post on a regular job board, you could get a bar manager from Kentucky without a badge applying to your job, and therefore your dashboard is flooded with candidates that don't meet your needs. Versus our platform, you're going to get the criteria that you're looking for.
Now, with, the criteria that you're looking for, obviously with so many different markets and so many different avenues that people can go into in cannabis. Now that we've seen the education kind of shift in cannabis jobs, for instance, you know, originally people could be very well versed. Nowadays we're seeing people with MBAs and stuff move into the space. Are you seeing a larger growth on the executive side? Or I know you originally said earlier that the bud tender position is the hardest to fill and the hardest to retain. But where do you see the most amount of applicants currently going into? Is that still the retail side?
It's across the board. You know, we were looking at this the other day. It's very across the board. It's not like there's one job that's getting way more applications than others. I think what we will see is likely retail, just because of all the retail staff that's been laid off. So I think, you know, there's retail folks who were laid off that could be bud tenders, but depends on when, you know, a lot of retail staff were furloughed, and now they can collect unemployment and feasibly make more than they would make going back to their retail job or being a bud tender. So I think a lot of people that, especially on the retail hourly front that were furloughed, going to go the unemployment route until hopefully the company brings them back. It'll be interesting is if the companies don't reopen or they don't get the position back, then where are these candidates supposed to go? Obviously, an industry like cannabis, there will be jobs. So I think it'd be a little bit further out to see where a lot of the laid off candidates on the hourly side start looking to go back into the workforce.
Awesome. So wrapping it all up, kind of what's next for you guys? Obviously, it's kind of a tumultuous time right now in the cannabis industry. You're still seeing some hiring coming back. Some of the states are looking at opening back up. Obviously, we have the medical side in Florida. Florida's looking to open back up. California's looking to ease restrictions on the 15th of May. What's next for you guys?
You know, we're just trying to use this term with our team, survive. So, I mean, we're right now in survival mode. How do we survive this crisis? We survive, you know, a bunch of our competitors have already gone out of business. Very tough environment to be a hiring company right now. So we're really not worried about competition at the back half. But our focus is on surviving, making sure we do every single thing we can to survive this crisis. Maybe this lasts, it's unclear how long this lasts. No one knows. No one has a crystal ball. And then right. be positioned very strongly to service our customers when they need to grow again. So a big part of our focus right now is on candidate acquisition and making sure we have the best candidates on the platform. So when the client's hiring ramps up again, boom, we have the candidates there ready to rock and roll. So we're in survival mode, as I've said to our team and to our investors, and it's resonating well with people.
Carson Humiston, CEO and founder of Vanx, thank you again so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great.
We would like to thank Carson for her time and being on today's episode. You can find out more about Vanx by visiting them online at www.vanx.com. Stay tuned to the next episode on Conversations in Cannabis, an MRR podcast.